Welcome to 20 Minute Health Talk. I'm your host, Rob Hoyle, and today we're looking to the skies for a very special event, the total solar eclipse happening on April 8th, 2024. This celestial phenomenon, where the moon completely covers the sun, will be a sight to behold. Joining us today to discuss the importance of safety during the eclipse and how to experience this event to the fullest are two distinguished guests. First, we have Dr. Matthew Gorski, an ophthalmologist who's here to guide us on how to protect our vision during the eclipse and to understand the potential risks of direct solar observation. And joining us remotely is Joe Rayo, an eight-time Emmy-nominated meteorologist and eclipse chaser. He's also served as an instructor and guest lecturer at New York's Hayden Planetarium. He writes about astronomy for the Natural History magazine, The Farmer's Almanac, and Space.com. He's here to share his wealth of knowledge on where to be and what to expect during the eclipse. So whether you're planning to travel to the path of totality or watch from your own backyard, this episode is your guide to experiencing the 2024 solar eclipse safely and memorably. Let's dive in. Dr. Gorski, how many solar eclipses have you seen?
So I've seen one. This will be my second one. The first one I saw was in 2017.
Joe, I think you might have him beat. How many how many solar eclipses have you seen?
The one that's coming up in on April 8th will be my 14th total eclipse. I saw my very first one up in Canada at the Gaspé Peninsula in Quebec in July of 1972. My grandfather took me to that one. He took a leisurely 900-mile trip from the Bronx up to Quebec so that he could show me that eclipse, because when he was 16 in 1925, there was a total eclipse over New York City, and he said, I gotta take you to see one of these because it's the most amazing thing you'll ever see, and certainly it was, and after that, I got hooked.
You certainly did. Yeah, that's awesome. So, Joe, just tell us, what exactly is a solar eclipse?
Quite simply, a solar eclipse is when the moon passes between the Earth and the Sun and casts its shadows, not its shadow. There are two shadows that the moon casts. There's a wide shadow that's about 6,000 miles in diameter. That's called the penumbra. And if you're in the penumbra, you will get a chance to see at least a part of the sun covered by the moon. Then there's the other shadow, the umbra. That's sort of shaped like a dark cone. And at the tip of the cone, wherever that tip, that shadow tip, passes over the surface of the Earth, if you're in that shadow cone, you will see the entire sun blacked out, and that's where the real thrills are when you get a chance to see a total eclipse of the sun. And the size of that shadow tip depends upon how far away the moon is, because the moon varies in distance from the Earth. The shadow tip can be anywhere from less than a mile wide to, in the largest case, over 160 miles wide. In the one coming up on April the 8th, the shadow is going to be approximately 120 miles in diameter. So if you're anywhere in that band, that 120-mile band, which stretches from Texas through the Tennessee and Ohio River Valley, up through the eastern Great Lakes, upstate New York, and into northern New England, if you're anywhere in that zone, you will be treated to the grandest spectacle I think you'll ever see in your life, a total solar eclipse.
Yeah, it's fascinating. And so many people are so excited about this. And this is something that doesn't happen that often. So Dr. Gorski, why is it important, even if we're looking at the sun for a short amount of time, why is it important to wear protection?
Yeah, so the sun is extremely strong, and sometimes people don't realize how strong it is. And what's important to know is there's nothing special about the solar eclipse. You should never look at the sun, whether it's a solar eclipse or it's a regular sunny day. I think the key takeaway as a doctor, as a physician here, is to never look at the sun at any time unless you're wearing the proper eye protection. That is, unless, of course, you're those couple of minutes of totality where the sun is completely blocked, you can take off the solar eclipse glasses. But, you know, for instance, for those of us in the New York metropolitan area, that's not going to happen. So whenever you're looking at the solar eclipse, keep those those special solar eclipse glasses on.
And what are some of the problems that you can see? What happens to people who look directly into the sun?
Yeah, so there's a disease entity called solar retinopathy. And what happens, the light rays cause a photochemical reaction that damages the retina. What can happen, some of the symptoms of this disease can start hours to days and sometimes even weeks after the exposure to the light. And the symptoms are blurry vision, distortion of vision, light sensitivity, blind spots, or even headaches.
And for people who are listening to this podcast who think, it's only a few seconds or whatever if I just look up, this is some damage, Dr. Gorski, that can last your whole life if you look directly into the eyes of the sun.
Yeah, all it takes is a millisecond for the damage to occur. You know, unfortunately, with solar retinopathy, when it happens, it's not treatable. So if the damage is done, you know, we don't have great treatments to help. The good news is that usually the vision can improve over time, but a lot of the symptoms can be permanent. So, you know, I always like to reiterate to my patients and people in the community, wear those glasses when in doubt. You know, don't wear glasses that don't look they're from a reputable source. Just be safe.
Joe, what do you wear when you look at the eclipse?
Well, I always wear proper protection, a solar, and this has become very popular in recent years, solar eclipse glasses. And what it is, really, they look like the old-time 3D glasses. You remember those schlocky 3D movies that came out in the 1950s where you put the glasses on and all of a sudden you can see 3D on the screen? They look like that, but instead of the red and blue filters in those glasses, what you end up having are glasses with a special plastic called polymer. And polymer not only reduces significantly the light of the sun, the visible light, but also, more importantly, the infrared and ultraviolet radiations that are being emanated by the sun. A lot of people say, well, I'm going to watch it with a pair of sunglasses. I got some really dark sunglasses. I'll be able to watch it that way. Well, maybe it'll reduce the light of the sun significantly with your sunglasses, but at the same time, those infrared and ultraviolet rays are going right through the sunglasses and onto the retina of your eye, and your eyes are being burned or damaged without you immediately being aware of it. As Dr. Gorski mentioned, you may not recognize the damage until days, weeks later, but those infrared and ultraviolet radiations are the thing that does the trick in ruining your eyesight. So make sure that if you're going to watch the eclipse with a pair of safety glasses, that you get the certified solar eclipse glasses. And again, they become very popular. And if you want to watch the eclipse using those glasses, order them now if you can, because I have a feeling that if you wait until a few days before the eclipse, a lot of these places that manufacture them are going to come back and say, sorry, we're all out. We'll be able to get them to you after the eclipse is over.
Yeah, so it's going to be important to make sure that these solar eclipse glasses carry the designation specifically ISO 12312-2. People in the community should really be careful where they're getting them from. Make sure you're getting them from a known, reputable vendor. And the American Astronomical Society has a great website of where to get these glasses. And if you can't get it online, if you're getting it from somebody else, make sure you ask that person, where are you getting it from? It's really critical for the safety of your eyes and for your vision that you know that you have high quality, safe solar eclipse glasses.
Yeah, and you brought these glasses in today that you're sharing with us in the studio, and they don't look like they'd be very expensive. How much does a pair of glasses like this cost?
These ones are about a buck.
A buck.
A buck. A dollar.
And I'm still now looking forward to April 8th. But Joe just said something that's very important, right? Like, make sure you're going to get them plenty of time so they arrive. For some reason, if you don't get the glasses, there are ways to view the eclipse where you could do it safely that people might not think of. But Joe, you've talked about certain things that the eclipse offers that are unbelievable, not just by looking up, but even by looking down.
Well, absolutely. The safest way to look at the eclipse is through projection methods. For example, like a pinhole in a piece of cardboard. If you put a pinhole in a piece of cardboard and then let the sunlight shine through that pinhole onto a second sheet of paper or cardboard held at arm's length, you'll get a miniature view of what's going on up in the sky on that sheet of cardboard. Another way that you could do it, if there's, I guess early April, it might be a little early for this to happen, but if there are some trees that are in leaf by that time, the little spaces in between the leaves act as little tiny pinhole projectors, and the sunlight shining through the leaves causes the images of the eclipse sun on the ground. The ground gets dappled, if you will, by dozens or scores or even hundreds of images of the sun underneath the tree. You get a chance to look at the eclipse on the ground. There are many ways that you can do it safely if you don't have access to the to the solar glasses merely by using projection.
Yeah, and so now where we are, we're right now, we're broadcasting this podcast from Long Island. So Long Island's not going to be in the path of totality, but we don't have to travel that far if we really were into it to go maybe upstate, Joe. Where is it going to be, like, in our area, the best place to see?
You've got to consider one thing about this, and this is like a chance of a lifetime for so many people who are listening right now. There are scientists, there are astronomers who are what are known as umbrophiles. They are the people who will travel anywhere and everywhere to get into the path of the total eclipse. Sometimes they'll travel, well, for example, with me, my last total eclipse, I went down to Antarctica in December of 2021. I mean, you've got people who will travel halfway around the world to get into the zone of totality. And here now, presented to you on April the 8th, is the opportunity to see a total eclipse. And how far do you have to go? Get in your car if you're in the New York City metropolitan area. Get on Interstate 87 and travel up 87 past Albany, past Saranac Lake. It's about maybe, what, a 4.5 hour drive. You eventually, when you get to a town called Schroon Lake on I-87, that is the edge of the total eclipse path. Continue onward for another few more miles. Bingo, you're in totality. You're in the zone of the eclipse, and you'll be able to see the sun completely and totally disappear for a few minutes in that totality zone. And then you could drive right on back. You could do it all in one day. How easy is that? How's that compared to scientists who spend a ton of money, a ton of time, and travel, let's say, halfway around the world to see a total eclipse? Here's one that is literally knocking at your back door, and you should really take your advantage to see it, because the next time we have a chance similar to this won't be until May 1st, 2079. So I don't know about you. I don't intend to be here in 55 years, but this is your opportunity to see literally right where we are, a chance to see a total solar eclipse.
For those people who are listening who aren't maybe willing to make that four-hour drive, what would we see on Long Island? What would we see? It's not total, but what would we be experiencing?
You'll see the sun whittled down to about 91% of its diameter covered by the moon. And some people say, well, wow, 91%. Well, I'll stick around here. That's good enough for me. Well, at 91%, that last crescent image of the sun that's still remaining in the sky is still going to be bright enough to make it seem like daytime. In fact, it will be at its peak, which will be 3:25 in the afternoon on April the 8th here in the tri-state area. 3:25 with 91% coverage, it will look like a cloudy, hazy day. Even though the sun, if it's clear that day, we all hope that that'll be the case, is shining seemingly brightly in the sky, you'll notice that it's weird. It's like a counterfeit twilight, if you will, kind of a duskiness. It will not get dark for you to see the stars, or will be able to see brighter planets. You won't see any weird colorations around the horizon. It'll just look like a cloudy, hazy day for a few minutes, and that'll be it. That'll be the peak of the eclipse. It'll be interesting looking through your glasses at seeing the sun look like a crescent moon, but it is nothing. You know, you've heard the old saying, it's like night and day. It's literally going to be like day compared to the night that you would be experiencing if you were in totality. In fact, if you stay here, if you use this as the Super Bowl analogy I like to use, if you go to see the Super Bowl, but you don't have a ticket, you're in the parking lot. That's the best you can do. You park your car, but you can't get any closer. You can't get inside the stadium. That's kind of like seeing the partial eclipse. But if you see the total eclipse, you got your tickets, you're going in, you're going to sit down, you're going to partake in seeing the whole game and whatever like that, the excitement of the crowd, everything else. So that's kind of like comparing a partial to a total eclipse. So you're going to be on the outside with a partial eclipse, but a total eclipse will be like inside and watching the main show.
That's awesome. And, you know, we have these glasses here. We have Dr. Gorski brought some of these glasses. And, you know, I don't know when the last solar eclipse was in our area. I don't think it was that long ago. We said we're going to look for to make sure that these are good glasses, that they're going to protect our eyes. Do they expire? Can we use glasses that we used from years ago? How does that work?
Yeah, so it depends. I guess that's the answer. You know, the most important thing about the eclipse glasses when you're looking at them is the first thing before you put them on, you have to inspect them. Make sure there are no scratches. Make sure there's no damage. You know, in general, a lot of the brands are reusable, assuming they're stored in safe way. You know, in reality, knowing how long there is between eclipses, you're probably going to want to just get a new pair.
Yeah. Joe had mentioned the next one's not up for, I think, what did you say, Joe?
2079.
So we're going to be pretty old if we want our kids to see it, because it's not going to be around. How do we make sure our kids have the glasses on correctly? How, you know, kids sometimes don't want to wear glasses, or they'll take them off. What do we do?
Yeah. So you have to be really careful with kids. You have to know your kid. They have to be responsible enough to properly put them on their face. You have to be responsible to not, peek out and look at the sun to see what's going on. And so you have to really know your kid. And the other thing is, you have to make sure that it fits properly on their faces. You know, they have smaller faces than us, and you have to really make sure, they can fit properly. And test it out before the main event in your house, looking at a light bulb. Put them on and make sure that they're able to be responsible observers of the eclipse.
And you mentioned before, Dr. Gorski, making sure that the filtering device you're using does not have scratches or holes in it or whatever, which again is very, very important. And because some candy bar wrappers are wrapped in Mylar plastic, and some people were seen, or Pop-Tarts, using those to look at the sun, and that's not safe. The worst thing that you could possibly use is scratched Mylar plastic. But again, what should be used is something that is certified. What you have mentioned, the special eclipse glasses, those are the things that you'd be investing in for a buck or two to watch the upcoming eclipse.
Joe, much of your work centers in one way or another around education. Why do you think it's important that people know about astronomy and meteorology?
Well, I think it's important, we were listening to Dr. Gorski and his recommendations on how to avoid retinal damage. It's important to tell kids, especially, don't look at the sun. But I think also it's important. I think this is going to be important because I got involved with science and astronomy and eventually became an atmospheric scientist from all the way back when my grandfather, when I was like 7 years old, showed me my first eclipse was a partial from the Bronx. That got me started on science and interested in getting books out about astronomy and space and science. And I'm hoping that with this eclipse coming up on April the 8th, that kids, especially between the ages of 5 and 10 who are exposed to this, will get enough interest in science and say, hey, I got to learn more about this. I got to learn more about science and space and the stars and things. And who knows, we may have a whole bunch of new prospective scientists coming out of this particular eclipse. This eclipse will burn a fire in youngsters in wanting to learn more about the movements of the moon, the sun, the stars, and other branches of science as well, to become interested in facets of science. This country, I've heard in recent years, one of the things that we don't seem to have is kids or the interest in science has fallen off some, and in mathematics too. Maybe this will ignite an interest again in science and get our kids to learn and inspire future generations to learn about what things are in the atmosphere and what surrounds all of us.
May even have kids take up a field in medicine.
I completely agree. Some of my earliest memories as it relates to, I'm a science nerd, I'm a doctor. So a solar eclipse as an ophthalmologist combines all of my interests, science, medicine, patient safety, optics and, opportunity to do something with my kids. It's some of my earliest memories are looking at a lunar eclipse, with my parents and being amazed at that. And, every exposure that young kids have to some, science can, like Joe said, turn on a switch and get them interested in the field. And we need more scientists. We need more people in the science field.
Awesome. Awesome. We're about to wrap up here. I'm almost out of time on 20 Minute Health Talk. Just before we go, any last thoughts, Dr. Gorski?
Enjoy the eclipse. It's an awe-inspiring moment, but just please do so safely. Wear those protective glasses.
Joe, any last words?
As my boss at the Hayden Planetarium, Dr. Neil Tyson, the famous astrophysicist, once said to an audience, he said, so should you spend time in traveling many hours to get to an area that's going to be seeing a total eclipse for an event that really in many areas won't last much longer than 2 or 3 minutes? Should you spend all that time to get there? And then he paused for, in fact, he said, yes. He said, because you're going to remember that for the rest of your life. And I tell you true, it's a bucket list event. Don't miss it if you have a chance. It is just an absolutely amazing, and I promise you, you're going to get addicted. As soon as you see your first, you're going to say, I got to see another one of these. And you too will become an eclipse chaser.
Awesome. Joe Rayo, thank you so much for bringing your passion and wisdom to 20 Minute Health Talk. Dr. Gorski, thank you so much for being a guest here on 20 Minute Health Talk. And for you, the listener, thank you so much for tuning in. Have a great day and stay safe.
Get more expert insight from the leading voices in healthcare today. You can subscribe to 20 Minute Health Talk wherever podcasts are available.